Welcome back in. Our numero dos here on The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you on this hump day edition. Happy Wednesday, everybody. A lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. You can reach The Fan text line at 503-864-6326. That's the modern day call-in hotline for sports radio now.
We're taking calls all day long today.
But we call them texts.
Opening up the phone lines.
Yeah. I did have a guy I golfed with. He asked what I did, and I told him, no kidding. Because I'm going to call in. And I was like, I didn't have the heart to be like, Text in, though.
Swag's got I'll talk to him.
Swag's got about 8,000 things to do during the course of a show that his head might explode if we all of a sudden told him we're going to make you answer phone calls all morning, too. Screen them, type them in. That used to be the job of the intern. That was my first ever thing I did at The Fan.
It's what I did in Seattle.
Answering phone calls, listening to the ramblings of the masses, and then having a little subject box line. You type in what the person wanted to say, what their name was, where they were calling from. It was a whole thing, man.
I used to answer the phone calls as an intern, and they would just go right into the take, and they'd be like, "Hey, Mitch, I got a real problem." I'm like, yo, buddy,
you're not on the air right now. You're talking to an intern,
an unpaid employee. Yeah.
I got to screen you.
Got to make sure you're not a rambling
idiot. What do you want to talk about?
Turn your radio down.
That was a lot of pressure, though, too.
Turn your radio off.
Yeah, deciding to.
They always want to hear themselves.
Which calls were worthy of airtime. There was a lot of pressure involved in that, in the screening of phone calls.
Well, you can reach the fan text line there, or jump on the YouTube, youtube.com/1080am The Fan.
Hello.
It's 4th of July week.
Happy 4th of July week, everybody.
It is. You ready for some hot dog eating?
Got your weenies ready?
A recent poll tells me we have as little patriotism as we've ever had.
I don't eat the wiener.
You know what fixes that?
Fireworks.
Wieners.
And ribs.
Yes.
Oh, saucy ribs.
Meat and blowing stuff up makes you feel pretty good.
I know there's a barbecue bro that exists. There's quite a few of them that'll tell you, you had to have sauce to your meat sucks.
And I'm like, uh-oh, what'd you add sauce to?
Well, ribs for me, I've had good
dry ribs?
Ribs, yeah.
I'm not a huge dry rib guy.
Dude, saucy ribs?
Saucy ribs are the best.
Trick is, don't do it until the very end.
Yes.
I put a little bit of a base coat. I let it cook it on a little bit.
He went a base
coat.
Not
the whole way. But I put a nice base coat on at the tail end of the slow cook.
I don't feel like that's controversial to meat guy. Like, I'm not full on meat guy, but saucy ribs are better than dry ribs.
There's meat guys out there.
I'll eat dry ribs. Yeah. I'm not anti dry rib.
Dry ribs, the best bread.
If you give me a platter of saucy ribs and dry ribs, I'm taking, it's the same thing with wings for me. I'm not a big dry wing guy. I like saucy wings.
Yeah, because I end up dipping the dry wing into something.
Yeah, I don't cook the sauce on it. I like tossing at the end when you've done the wing after you smoke them, and then they're delightful.
Yeah. So on the college football note, I didn't get to Jeremiah Smith.
Speaking of saucy.
Yeah, Jeremiah Smith, very saucy.
Very saucy.
So he's at this camp. He does this sit-down interview, and he says, quote, "I'm not a sore loser, but I do hate losing, and losing to that team up north was pretty crazy."
Did he mention losing to my team? Is that why they were up 34-0 in the first half? No, I didn't mention that one. No.
Last checked, he was killing your team. In fact, his best game of the year was against your team.
He lost to our team, too.
I mean,
why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it?
Remember the last time you played your team?
Nah, only the first one counts.
We done 40-0 at the half?
You shouldn't get second chances in life. Only one chance. You don't get another shot at the king.
Shouldn't be a number one seed if you're down 40-0 at a Rose Bowl. Anyways, he says, I'm not a sore loser, but I hate losing. In the end, I think it really helped us play the way we did in the playoffs. But I didn't want to go to Ohio State and lose to that team up north. I just hate them. Just something about them for the next 2 years. I promise you, I will not lose to them. I can't lose to them.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
In the next 2 years.
We've heard that. I think all the seniors that returned last year said, we're not losing to Michigan again. We're all coming back one more year to beat Michigan.
And I thought they were going to whoop their ass.
Everybody lost. They lost embarrassingly at home somehow, some way, and it woke them up to win a national championship. Just for the hilarious aspect of it, I hope they lose four more times. Like, I hope this continues. And then Ohio State fan has to square in their mind, their head coach won a national championship.
Yes.
But he's now lost 4 years. In a row to Michigan. You imagine if that gets to like seven.
Is it at four right now?
I believe so.
So I think it is four. So what if they don't beat Michigan the next 2 years of Jeremiah Smith's career?
Wouldn't it be wild? He goes 0-3 against them.
And they go six straight losses, but they keep like getting to semifinals.
And what if they win another national title? Like, how do you square that? They're thrilled because you won a national championship.
See,
but
this is the thing.
It's that, weird.
That rivalry, my daughter just asked me this the other day, and I don't know if I gave her the right answer. And I hate to be this generic radio guy. She goes, Dad, is this a rivalry between the Thunder and the Pacers? Because, you know, she doesn't know. She didn't watch sports obsessively the way I did.
Right.
And I go, no. And she goes, well, what is the best? And I named this rivalry. In fact, I think I named it first. I'm not saying that it's guaranteed to be the biggest rivalry in sports, Michigan-Ohio State. But it certainly came to the front of my mind, and so I named it that.
Yeah.
Where I think we get a little over the rivalry thing. Who won the Yankee-Red Sox rivalry last year in total?
I couldn't tell you who's won it in the last five years.
Who was in the World Series?
Yeah, the Yankees were.
So if the and maybe the Yankees beat the Red Sox into oblivion last year. Yeah. I don't know. But if they didn't, who cares?
Yankees-Red Sox, to me, has always been one of the most overrated rivalries in all of sports.
Because they play a lot.
They play 20 times a year.
A trade happened in, like, 1902, and we care still. Like,
and it has to be Sunday Night Baseball every time they play. The difference is this is once a year that you play.
And I think that's valid. I'm not saying there's not emotion tied to it. But if Ohio State loses the next 2 years to Michigan and it goes to six straight seasons.
Yeah, and they don't win a national title in those 2 years.
But no, I'm going to say if they win another
one. If they do.
The fans won't care, man. They got the natty.
They do.
You want to win that game. I'm not saying they don't.
They
I'm just
do.
Saying, like,
the difference
how
here,
do they square it? If they get two natties out of that, I mean.
Well, they already got one with Ryan Day, right? So even if they don't win one the next 2 years, it's a fascinating spot to be in. The weird part about this one is they've won each of the last two national championships. So on the one hand, if you lose to your rival that many times in a row, if you have a national championship that you could point to, like it's a Washington fan, when they lost 12 in a row, they said, hey, we won a half of one a decade ago or 20 years ago, and they would claim that. Like, cool that you won 12 in a row, we still have the hardware that you don't have, even though you've dominated the rivalry for the last 25 years. They would say, don't mean a thing because you haven't won the big one. They've each won a national title in the last 2 years. So you could say, well, we won the title. Michigan say, well, we won it the year before that, and we've beaten you 4 years in a row. So they still have the bragging rights over you because they've won a national championship and they've won four in a row. Three of them, or at least two of them, are in dominant blowout fashion, too. They kicked the crap out of them 4 years ago in Ann Arbor in the snow, came into Columbus the next year and smoked them, and then the last 2 years they've won tight competitive games, one at home and one on the road. And this was a rivalry that was dominated by Ohio State. This is where ultimately you're not wrong. I feel like they are so psychotic in that rivalry that I think there's like a slight bit, like 10% of you is like, yeah, we won the title, but there's a small sliver
you think
of you.
10%?
Like, I wouldn't have any
I'm
issue
not dismissing
with it.
The
if
idea
you told
of
me
it.
This year that Oregon loses to Washington but wins a national championship, I will sign up for that in a heartbeat. Give me
Duck
my contract.
Would.
I'll sign my life away for that.
I don't
think
Duck fan would care at all.
I could lose 10 in a row to Washington if you tell me I won a national title. I'll take it, dude. I don't care.
Careful.
I just won a national championship.
10 in a row would
but these
you
teams
down.
Have it. They've both won one, so there's not a bragging right one way or the other, and Michigan ultimately has it right now. And so I think in a lot of rivalries, you're right. I think this is one of the few exceptions where even last year with the national title, I guarantee if you're an Ohio State fan, there's 10% of you that's like,
Swag, do you think it's 10% or higher than 10% of Ohio State fan if they lose to Michigan but win another title?
Oh, I think it's higher. I think there's still...
Is it 80-20?
That's in the ballpark.
You need to get therapy then.
But yeah.
But all their fans, most of them alive, old enough, have seen multiple national championships. They won one in the early 2000s.
They're spoiled
fans. They won one in 2014. Yes. So it's not like it was something last year that they had never done before. It was something that Ryan Day had never done before.
Right.
But they've had three different coaches win a title this century.
I mean, you want to win that game the day of the game, and you don't want to deal with the brag rights after the game. But if you win the national championship.
That was one of the most humiliating and embarrassing losses in the history of college football.
100%. They had a fight on the field.
Michigan could not throw a forward pass, and they lost at home.
Well, that's the other part of that.
They didn't
reading
have a quarterback.
I had the memory when he said that, when he said this quote and I read it, I'm like, it's still crazy to me. What did they score in that game?
It was 13-10.
10?
13-10 was the final score.
You had that cat on your team.
They scored 10 points.
You also had Egbuka, who just got drafted in the top 15.
Yeah.
And you had multiple running backs.
Will Howard, who started 800 games in college.
10?
Yeah. Two NFL running backs.
At home.
At home. Wow. 10. Michigan had a good defense. They weren't that good.
That was one of the that's going to be one of the crazier games in our lives to not be able to explain when we look back. I can't explain it now.
Cannot explain it.
Because the team that won the title is the team I expected to see in that game.
2 weeks later, they beat Tennessee by 30. The week after that, they hung 150 on Oregon. They beat Texas, and they beat Notre Dame.
Crazy.
I don't know how to square that game and that outcome. Just for the simple fact of these kind of comments, though, because I've heard this from Ohio State players now 3 years in a row.
Oh, I know.
I hope they lose 5 more of these. It would be hilarious if that were to
happen. It's a weird thing where I love the player, but damn, do I hate that team.
Yes.
I've always hated Ohio State.
Hey, not. Who likes Ohio State?
There's people that choose Ohio State over the Michigan. Like, that was my introductory into that game, was Ohio State, Michigan.
You pick a side of it. You got it. North Carolina, Duke, you pick a side. Every rivalry, you have to pick a side to root for.
And every time somebody picks the opposite side of me, I think they're messed up.
Why would you choose Ohio State? Why would you root for Ohio State, you weirdo?
Yeah, that's kind of how I view it.
You want to put a little Buckeye on your helmet? Oh, it's so cool.
We will eventually pivot out, but I actually have one more college football segment.
I'm going to do the whole show college football now. We're
on
this train. I'm going to keep going.
I'm ready for football season.
Video game comes out next week, dude. I can't wait.
20 days to Big Ten Media Days.
Well, I tried to get McMurphy on the show, and he's like, I would, but I'm super busy, and I have all of the Media Days next week, and I'm like, what?
Oh, they start next week, huh?
That's what he said. That was
ACC
his email.
ACC might be next week.
Okay. He's going to all of them.
SEC.
So.
Big Ten's towards the end.
Yeah, Big Ten's one of the last ones.
What'd you think of the players going for Oregon?
I they were all good. I had no issue with it.
Uyunglele.
It was Mateo, Bryce Betcher, and Kenyon Sadiq.
Yeah. I mean, you can't send the quarterbacks. Not
Betcher
yet.
Is back, so you have to. I mean, he's the captain of the team. Mateo was.
Do you know Betcher could also play baseball?
What do you mean, like this year?
He was drafted.
He was drafted.
Oh, I didn't know that he was drafted.
Did you know that?
I did know that he was
He'll
drafted.
He'll go to the
I didn't know if there was
leagues.
Like a trick question
no,
there.
No, that's
like,
going to be the new Tez.
The Tez Johnson
Bo
thing.
Bo Nix's brother. That this year, it's what it's going to be because he's going to be one of the top linebackers in the country.
Yeah, I love.
I didn't
group.
Know if you knew that yet.
I'd never heard that before. I didn't know he played baseball. That's pretty cool. Yeah. This is a fun fact. I'm just finding out right now. A listener reminded me too when the Jeremiah Smith stuff was brought up. We're talking about him.
Uh-huh.
There was a video that went viral. I think it was last week or earlier this week, sometime.
The Marshall one,
the Brandon Marshall video.
Thank you for reminding me.
They checked bank accounts, and Brandon Marshall, who played in the NFL for 15 years,
he had a long career.
Brandon Marshall was a stud for a long time. And they were like, let's compare how much money we have in our bank accounts. And Jeremiah Smith, after 1 year playing college football, has more money in his bank account.
I forgot to pull that audio. It's actually really good
audio. Marshall's like, what? Dude.
Which, by the way, I would never play that game.
You want to play that game?
Do you want to play that game?
I feel okay playing that
game. Who's got the most money in their bank account right now? Who's big bank on the show? Swag is sneaky here.
You think Swag's sneaky? No, I don't think Swag's sneaky.
His rent is like, his mortgage
is
like
$150. He's living a lavish lifestyle. He's constantly buying booze. He's playing golf seven times a week.
He's broke, but his mortgage is like $100.
Taking Mondays off. He's paying for an apartment in Bend for his kid.
Yeah, right. His kid is solo now. Why do you think he's so happy to be a dad again? He's not spending all his money.
He's footing the bill for that, man.
I think Swag might win this.
You think Swag could win
it? You just bought a house. I think you're broke. I think you're a broke bitch right now.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I mean, I'm not broke, but yeah, siphon some funds away. We're hoarding right now. We're hoarding the best we can.
I feel broke.
Yeah. I mean, I am broke. I wish I had more money. But
I'm a guy that if I see a number in my account, if it's below that number, I'm like panicking. It used to be when I was in college, it was $1,000.
That was the number?
If I had below $1,000 in my account, I would freak out mentally.
I'll never forget the time in our career when we went from being hourly paid at minimum wage early on.
Oof, that was brutal.
I was living in an apartment in Hillsboro.
I still drive by that apartment all the time and I go, dirt.
Hey, that was it right there. $7 an hour. And right before our first contract hit, I'm pretty sure the day before it did, I had about $6 left to my name. And I was like, boy, am I glad this contract came in time, because I don't know what the hell I would have done.
Yeah, but you were much happier.
I was much, you know, I was sleeping at least. That was for sure.
Yeah, that's factual. All right, let's get to one more college football segment. Potentially, maybe we got another one around the corner. Outlandish thing to say, or is it going to age very gracefully? We'll get to it next on The Fan. Well, Swag has a great surprise for us coming up at the bottom of the hour for the Daily Ticker. We'll find out what that is.
We got a text, by the way, from the opening of the show.
Okay.
Listening on YouTube, the beginning of the show, laughing at the height combo. 5'9", for sure different than 5'10". My lady says you look 5'9". I don't know why, but I get grumpy. I say I'm 5'10". I think it's the three numbers, dude. It's the three numbers is bigger than two. 5'10", 5'10". It's like,
ten sounds
10.
Grand.
5'10", you're 5'10".
You have importance.
Wow. Look how tall you are, man. You're 5'10".
Let me look at my big gay planner here.
2 inches is a lot, buddy. It is. Good point, Dirt.
Great job, Andy.
If you could find a way to give me an extra 6 inches, I'm all for it.
So would your wife.
Well, that's true.
Actually, well,
no, I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. The mother of my child. You bite your tongue over there.
Extra 6 inches would murder my wife if I feel bad.
Yeah, that's just then you're Will Ortner tall. It's like, whoa, that's just weird.
It'd be like the guy in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Does that hurt you? Because it hurts me.
Off to find the magical.
Just confirmed, yes, 5'10", bigger than 5'9". Just 5'9",
confirmed, yeah, confirmed.
One of our listeners, because I had to do a poll question on this, does 5'10", is it a lot different than 5'9", height-wise? And someone says, only for people that are 5'9", yep, or 5'10".
Exactly.
2 inches is a lot.
Yeah, man. Dude, when you're down here with us in the short world, that's a big deal, man. You talls looking down your noses at us, how dare you.
It is funny in college football. I want to get to the quarterback position a little bit. It's funny how many unknowns are at that position at certain schools where I'm like, you could say, you know, you could be an Andrew Nemec. Oh, I covered this kid in high school from his junior year to now, and yep, I've never seen any. And you could say all of these complimentary things, and I wouldn't dismiss it, but I'd also be like, yeah, I mean, we'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
Like Julian Sain is one of those at Ohio State.
Without
Smith in the
doubt.
Story is like, this kid is remarkable. He's super smart. He's a quiet leader.
Yeah.
He can make every throw. And I'm like, yeah, well, the last guy that quarterbacked them won the national championship. So there's going to be a lot of expectations for him, and maybe he'll live up to him. I know this is happening at Oregon. It's happening all over the country.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, I believe, is going through this. Oregon is obviously going through it. Texas is going through it. A lot of big programs.
Notre Dame, didn't they end up losing who they thought was going to be their starter? And so they pivoted to the next guy, right? Remember the backup? I think he transferred from Notre Dame.
I can't remember my Notre Dame quarterback facts.
I want to say I have that right. If I don't, I will apologize. But I want to say the kid who backed up Leonard transferred, and I was like, whoa.
Okay.
But, you know, Notre Dame has talent, so I'm sure yes, they'll be okay.
Yes.
There was one individual, when talking about a returning quarterback who didn't quite start but played, he gave a take. He gave a take yesterday, and that's old Paul Feinbaum.
He was on Get Up.
He was on Get Up.
He was getting up yesterday.
And he had this on the quarterback of Texas.
Had Arch Manning been instituted in the second half of that game, like Nick Saban did a couple of years ago with Tungavailoa, I think there's a reasonably good chance that Texas would have beaten Ohio State and won the national championship. They're very capable of doing it again this year. I believe also that Arch Manning is the best college football quarterback we have seen since Tim Tebow entered the scene in 2006.
Hell no.
Are you smoking crack? Is this acceptable Alabama fans? Is this Alabama football? Is this what we signed up?
The best since Tim Tebow. We have not watched him
start. We've had too many
start.
Good quarterbacks that have come in that have been better than Tim Tebow, too. Tim Tebow played for a super team at Florida. Cam Newton was better than Tim Tebow.
Joe Burrow. Smoking on that Joe Burrow.
Lamar Jackson was better than Tim Tebow. Like, just the list goes on and on and on.
I wanted to ask
RG3
that question.
RG3 was better than Tim Tebow. He was.
Ooh.
Tim Tebow played with.
You brought up a name that I'm like, your first name where I'm like, oh.
Dude, go back and look at RG3's final year at Baylor.
No, remarkable,
and
yeah.
Look at, name me how many of those names you remember. Then go back and look at the Florida rosters and look at how many of those guys played 10 years in the NFL.
Look,
some might have murdered people, but they had long NFL careers.
To your point, largely, of like, come on, man. I get it.
32 SEC. Touchdowns and 6 picks his first year as a starter. Those are good numbers.
I mean, That's just such a crazy, random statement.
I mean, it's dumb because...
Why did he choose Tebow?
Because he's Paul Feinbaum, and this is what Paul Feinbaum does.
He could have used Cam Newton.
This is the time of year we've gotten to where there's a couple things that happen in sports media. So I'm just going to warn you. Nationally, you talk about the Lakers and the Cowboys or the Yankees.
Well, right now, there's a reason to talk about the Lakers.
Well, not really.
And LeBron.
Because LeBron's not going anywhere. But yes, it will be an endless topic. And then it will pivot in a couple of weeks to the Cowboys and Dak Prescott and can the Cowboys. And,
oh,
and there's
yeah,
a Netflix documentary yeah, coming out. We'll talk Cowboy, 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 Cowboy,
yep.
Cowboy, Cowboy, Cowboy. So those are one of your options. Or You get paid to go on television mm-hmm. and say something so outlandishly stupid and ridiculous
oh.
that it then causes everybody on your network to react to it for 24 hours yes. and for people like us to pick it up and then play it and then say, here's what Paul Feinbaum had to say. Let's react to it. I mean, this is laughably dumb.
Well, I didn't want to react. We know we all kind of have the same opinion. Well, not much
also, if you put lemonade. Him in, yeah, if you put him in the national title or the semifinal game, you win. Texas tried that against Georgia. How did it go?
Not so well.
When they benched Quinn Ewers and brought him in, how did Arch Manning play in that game?
His whole, like, idea, they win the title.
It's dumb.
Based
it's
on what?
Stupid. And to say he's the best quarterback we've seen since Tebow, when there's been a dozen quarterbacks better than Tebow since 2009.
Let me put a pause here.
Mariota was better than Tebow, damn it.
Cue the stand music from Eminem with yeah. the writing sound effect. Dear Paul, Joe Burrow, just as a reference, 2019, this was 6 years ago, 5,600 yards, 76 completion percentage,
yep.
60 tutties, six picks.
Yes.
Yeah. He's yeah. going to be better than that?
And a natty.
He going to be better
and
than that, Paul?
And a natty.
Paul?
Paul, what is in your lemonade?
RG3's last year, he had 37 passing touchdowns, 5,000 passing yards, 10 rushing touchdowns, and 700 rushing yards. He had almost 5,000 yards of total offense and almost 50 touchdowns.
To that, Paul, I have this to say to you.
Wake the hell up.
Are you kidding, brother?
Cam Newton single-handedly carried a bat at Auburn football team to a national championship. Like, hell, Jameis Winston at Florida State was a stud. There's like the list is very long of great
Jameis
quarterbacks
Winston
that we have seen.
Jameis Winston won a title as a freshman.
He did. As a true freshman, he won a national championship.
Paul, that's what I'm doing with my foot.
So I could wish my boot right up your ass.
And yeah. then he stole some crab legs and did some inappropriate stuff off the field and then still went undefeated in his second year as a starter before he lost to Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Like, it's dumb. Although, I think the topic here is...
This kid's, I think, handling everything
so
really
which,
incredibly
are
well.
Are you more outraged by the Arch Manning comments or the Tim Tebow comment?
No, I'm not outraged. That would be going a bit far. I understand. Dirt's right. It's the time of year where you got to get somebody on. Like,
go say something stupid, and then we all call you stupid for a day, and then they trade off who's the punching bag. Did you see what Mike Greenberg said this morning? Right. He said Nikola Jokic is the 10th best center in the NBA.
Mike Greenberg. As the Jets, as a top five sleeper.
Oh my God, we got to talk about this all day long. What is happening right now? That's sports media. That's what we do.
Stephen A. Smith is wearing a cowboy hat. Guess who he's going to clown?
Cowboys.
And then my dad's going to text, did you see Stephen A. wearing a cowboy hat this morning?
That was great.
No, Dad, I was doing a radio show. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on YouTube.
I always appreciate the support.
It's on your smart TVs. Pull up the YouTube ad. You can watch it.
I kind of
there.
Agree with what Stephen A. said today.
You agree with his takes on the Yankees?
What did he say?
Well, the Thunder title wasn't impressive enough. It only went 7.
LeBron's 10th best player of all time. This is where we're at. I'm fascinated to see how, I think the storyline here is, how does Arch Manning handle all of this? Because this is going to be, he is one of the most, here's what I will give you.
I think he's handled it pretty well.
So, I mean, from a media standpoint, he has. That's totally different than performing on the field. Like,
I know.
In terms of, like, expectations and name recognition for a quarterback coming in, that's the part where it's like, he is the maybe one of the biggest we have ever seen in the sport. And like, hey, go be as good as your uncle who won 2 Super Bowls or your other uncle who's maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time or your grandfather, like, good luck living up to that.
Well, he's going to have the expectation of even be better than Quinn Ewers.
Can you get them to a semifinal? Can you get them to a national championship? They're one of the favorites, and they will be every year that he's there, whether it's 1, 2, or 3. I don't know how long he's going to stick around, but he's got just sky-high expectations, and that's not easy to handle.
It's not. I don't really know if there's a number on the expectation of him, but I think right now it kind of feels like if he's not New York, people are going to have
a disappointing season if he's not a Heisman finalist.
A year from now, we're going to look back. Somebody's going to remind you and I that he said this comment. And maybe Texas wins a whole enchilada, and it ages really well.
Yeah, you look like a genius.
I still don't think he's going to have those numbers of Burrow, because that's the greatest year of quarterbacking I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, if he sticks around for 2 to 3 years, he might get there.
But if they don't win the title, and that dude's not in New York,
yeah,
I'm not going to say, oh, Art sucks. I'm going to have proper perspective and say, he's really good.
It's his first year as a starting quarterback. He's not supposed to be that good yet.
But it might be the time of year next year from this point where Feinbaum gets back on and says, it's one of the most disappointing seasons of any first-year quarterback.
Now, mark your calendars, too, for September 1st. Or, no, yes, probably Monday, September 1st. Do you know who Texas opens with this year?
It is a big team.
First game of the year?
Is it Ohio State?
Saturday, August 30th. They're on the road at Ohio State.
That's the Corso game, right?
That's the Lee Corso final game day game. That's this first game as an official starter. Mm. I think he filled in against some nobody last year. He played against like Mississippi State or somebody, like maybe a non-conference game when Ewers went down for
bit. He had played multiple games.
And he was fine. I mean, he was fine. He wasn't, not out of this world. He was good. He was not very good when they brought him in relief against Georgia, but that wasn't all his fault. But mark your calendars for Monday, September 1st. If he struggles, they lose that game. Uh-oh, does the hype too big? Is Arch Manning overrated? Like, that will be the takeaway on Monday, September 1st.
You know, the thing about him is, I almost feel like he was more known for his legs, though, than his arm.
He's an incredible athlete.
I know, but, like, that's the weird thing about a Manning.
Because he's a Manning.
Is we're thinking about the legs before we are the arm. Like, we were all last year watching him going, I don't know, man, why is Arch not in on a run package?
Why aren't we running Arch Manning
And that's
often?
Not the expectation I had for him coming into college, but I also didn't know what
to expect. Well, wasn't Archie, like, yeah, Archie was a great scrambler and had to be with the Aints back in the day.
No, it's not this that he can run swag. It's more like, I didn't hear a whole lot about his legs coming into college. It felt like it was just the cerebral Manning arm talent.
Oh, no.
Gift.
I thought I heard he was much more of a dynamic dual threat quarterback than.
Yeah, maybe that was out there more than I saw, but it kind of surprised me. And then last year, we're all like, why is he not in on run packages?
Yeah. When he gets open in the open field, you realize and you remember quickly how fast he is. He started two games last year, Louisiana Monroe, they won 51-3.
I remember that one.
And then they played Mississippi State at home and they won 35-13.
And he went in and blowout time, or was that the Ewers missed a game?
He went in and blowout time against UTSA late. He threw four touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
That one was a
four touchdowns in the second half. He's like, oh my God, this guy's incredible. The next week, he was 15 of 29, two touchdowns, two picks against Louisiana Monroe.
Mm. Well, we'll see. I don't think Tim Tebow's the best quarterback since Tim Tebow. I think there's like five other quarterbacks.
There's a handful that I can name. Tim Tebow was a hell of a college quarterback.
Give me three names. I'll put on a poll question. Who was the best quarterback since Tim Tebow? And I'll put Tebow on the list.
Oh, okay.
Tebow, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton has to be on that list.
Joe Burrow has to be
on that list.
Who would the next one be?
I mean,
you said RG3, but also Winston.
You're splitting hairs. Like, I would take Lamar over both those guys.
Lamar.
Mariota won a Heisman Trophy and took Oregon to a title game. Like, who's the best of those three? Go ahead and pick. I can't decide that.
I want to put Mariota, but I'm afraid to because I think he'll win.
Don't include Mariota because then you'll get the local vote. Yeah. Do Lamar Jackson. How about Lamar?
Okay.
Lamar at Louisville was unbelievable. I mean, all these guys were unbelievable, but Lamar.
They're really, Yes.
Doing it at a place that wasn't built with, chock full of NFL talent, I think is a little bit more respectful for me.
Okay.
And that was, Louisville had a good team and Petrino was wearing a neck brace, but he was awesome.
We have a lot to get into, including Statter's story coming up at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. A swag surprise coming up next. We'll see what it is from old Jason T. Swigard on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time. Brought to you, as always, by our good friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They're on today's scoreboard with today's Daily Ticker. And in your hand with summertime refreshment, reach for your favorite Pelican brews at a store near you. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Question on Twitter from one of our P1s.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I have the same takeaway as you guys do on this. And he asks us, do you think the Manning discussion on Archie is polarizing? So the Mannings are promoting an athlete in their family, but Sanders, Williams, Ball, Woods families promoting athletes in their family is considered tainted. And maybe I'm crazy, but Archie Manning at the Saints was nothing spectacular. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, like, quantify quarterbacks in the early 1970s, especially for a team that was as bad as the Aints and they couldn't win anything and they really haven't their entire history outside of a couple of years.
Am I misremembering, though, that Archie was pretty good? That team just blew?
Yes. Archie was...
It was a different era,
What's
too.
Good for the 1970s?
Exactly.
In your mind.
Well,
tell me a good season for a 1970s quarterback.
I mean, Bradshaw had years. You look back and you go...
A lot of these guys did, right?
Winner. Probably.
His best year?
Uh-huh.
17 touchdowns, 16 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1978.
But every highlight you see is him running for his life and somehow having a play
that team
that's
was
possible.
So bad.
they were terrible. Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
But he also made his legend as a college player at Ole Miss, too.
For sure.
I mean, his point, is, that listener's point is a very fair one to wonder. I don't think the Mannings.
That was my retort, though. I don't feel like the Mannings are doing anything to promote him. I think his name is promoting him, and ESPN. Yeah. People are promoting him because of his name. You don't ever see Peyton out there talking about him, Eli out there talking about him.
If they're asked about him, they answer.
Like Cooper Manning is not all over the map. No. Archie's not doing interviews left and right. Like, his name is a big deal, and that carries a lot of weight. There's nobody out there politicking for him from his family, I don't feel like.
Yeah, that's probably the big difference. The other thing that I always thought was weird, and it's over and it's done, so who cares, is like, when Deion had the quote about Hunter and Shador, he'll only play for certain teams, right?
Yeah.
That really bothered people. And I guess I get it, but I always thought it was odd how much it bothered people. And again, I think we're both agreeing here that the Manning family isn't coming in and knocking you over the head with constant arch this, arch that, arch this, arch that. Yep. And I think partially that is Arch. He's like, yo, just let me be who I am.
Just let me be me.
But that's also the same family that did not allow a team to draft one of them, and like
Archie led the charge
there.
Yeah, they did.
And if Deion had not said those comments, but instead just been quiet, gone to the draft, and Shador had been more prepared, and let's say Shador goes earlier, and then Deion behind the scenes goes, "No, we're not playing for them. You're getting traded." I think people would have been in their feelings in a level that. They didn't have that at all for Arch or Archie and Eli.
I think for Deion, it was just more the presentation of it. I mean, I remember going through the whole when John Elway was drafted. Like, he actually played minor league baseball for the Yankees. That is the degree to which they did not want to.
What was the public discourse around that when it happened?
Such a much different era.
It was totally different.
Was he a pariah? Was he, how dare this guy? Was it, I understand
what he
was doing?
There was a little bit of that, yeah.
Didn't have the 24-hour news cycle either.
No, we did not.
You didn't have that. And, of course, shortly after everything went down, then, you know, the Colts loaded up the Mayflower trucks and
left town,
hightailed it, you know, out of town. And so they ended up being proven right. And so looking back, you know, whatever.
Well, so was Eli.
He won a couple of titles with the Giants.
And he doesn't win that without a stout defensive pass rush.
No. Nope.
The Chargers, and I just saw Philip Rivers highlight, Rivers was great. The Chargers were always the Chargers.
Yeah.
They had a couple really peak years.
Yep.
Then injuries hurt them.
Schottenheimer couldn't win a playoff game.
But outside of that, they like always just didn't have enough, no matter how good Philip Rivers was. And so
the Sanders comparison is also tough because Deion was his head coach.
Yeah.
So there's natural politicking that has to take place there. Like, if Peyton Manning was the head coach at Texas right now, he'd be all over the map talking about Archie Manning as starting quarterback.
Yeah, but I don't know. Archie, I keep mixing their names up. Archie feels like he's still.
Is he officially an Archie or an Arch?
I think it's just Arch.
Just Arch? It's not Archie, but goes by Arch?
I'm not confident in that answer.
Okay.
But either way, it's obviously
an homage.
Tomato homage
to his dad. Yep. He's still kind of in a way, no matter how big Peyton has gotten in his media empire with Eli, he dictated the Eli Manning stuff. And then he's connected now with his grandson. There's like a puppet kind of thing going on here where they are pretty involved. They're just not out in front of the camera involved the way Deion is.
Yeah. You can argue there's a smarter way to handle things behind the scenes and through the media
I also think there has to be a racial component at play.
For sure there is.
There's no way you can say there's not.
For sure there
is. If Deion handled it exactly how Archie did, and then came into the draft and did that with Shador, people would have been in their feelings in ways, again, that they didn't. I don't remember backlash really coming out about Eli doing that.
Yeah, I
watched that draft.
I remember it being a big deal, but I don't remember what the... I was like 14 years old. It's hard to remember vividly what the conversation was.
Hitting ourselves over the head for a week if Shador had done that.
Yeah.
Now, Shador didn't handle his draft preparation right.
Over our head for a week for him falling in the draft.
Right.
Take away for a month.
And it was And it was just like a lot of that energy, whereas like, maybe I just misremembering the moment. I didn't feel like, because we knew that he didn't want to go to be a Charger.
Yeah, it's tough, again, because they're so different because the head coach aspect of it is a big part of it. Like, when Deion is that, Deion is already a controversial. That's probably
yeah.
The right
some
word,
of it is just Deion.
A lot of it's just Deion. People just don't like Deion to begin with, and then there's a fall off for his son, and then there's a lot of comments that are made about he's going to be a top five pick, mm-hmm. and he's you know the pre-draft process. Like it's just, I feel like they're very apples to oranges. But I saw the tweet and I thought it was interesting because there is definitely pushback with a lot of these sports families that happens. I just wanted to say at least they're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. You're probably not wrong there. The Mannings at least are not shoving it down your throat in front of a microphone constantly about how good Arch Manning
is. But then ask yourself this. What families have the pushback and what families don't? Because the Mannings don't.
They don't, no.
The Sanders do.
The Sanders do. But I also, again, they're very different. And it's not just the racial component to it.
No, yeah, I'm not saying the entire thing is based on
like
that.
Comparing LeVar Ball, comparing the Ball family to the Manning family.
Yeah.
Like, those are very different circumstances, and it's not just the racial component of it.
People,
the dad's on First Take saying he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. That's totally different.
I don't think he can do it anymore. He lost a foot.
Yeah, he doesn't have a foot anymore. He's not winning that game.
I think people also love to see other people be humbled when somebody's loud.
Without a doubt they
like
do.
Deion winning TCU. You believe now.
Yeah, you bring a lot of
and
that.
And then
you
laugh the minute they get housed by Washington State at the end of the year in a 4-8 season.
Yeah.
So I think there's also that element of just watching somebody be humbled that when somebody's loud, it's like, yo, we can't wait for you to get yours.
Yeah.
The Mannings, to their credit, I guess, don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't put themselves in positions. Peyton's great on film analysis. He compliments the new era.
It'll be interesting when he gets to the NFL, if he gets there, what the level of, like, if he has struggles or if he's not playing well, like, how do they talk? Because they're on Monday Night Football. They're still doing the Manning cast. Like, eventually this will become a thing that I will be very interested by and how they handle
it. Well, you know, Peyton outright asks things on broadcast, but they're not overly critical. They'll more do the, like, yeah, to check down there, Eli.
Yeah, what were you thinking there? Why would you throw that ball there?
They're not like that critical of the guys live on television. So I could only imagine if Arch is quarterbacking on a Monday night broadcast that they're on, which that's going to be such fun television.
Yes, it will.
If he struggles and has really bad game, like, they're going to find ways to dance around the criticism.
Yeah, probably. Somebody texted in San Diego. There was a ton of backlash and hate for Eli, but he knew
for
how
sure
bad the Spanos
Diego,
family was. Like, yeah, that's in the city. You're for sure going to get outrage. It's hard to remember. I remember that being a very big deal. And like, wait a minute, they're drafting each other's quarterbacks, but then trading the other one to the other one. This is weird.
I mean, that was 2004, and it's crazy to say because 2004 is still in the back of my mind yesterday.
That was
and
20
sometimes.
Plus years ago.
We didn't have First Take.
That was
we didn't have morning show. It was Sports Center, and that was. That was kind of it.
That was a drinking adult ago. 21 years ago, man.
That's
a long time ago.
I just realized my wife's birthday was last week, and this is my 17th year celebrating her birthday together.
It's a lot of birthdays.
And I'm like, that's a kid about to graduate out of high school.
That kid's about to be able to buy some. Well, no, you can't buy tobacco at 18 anymore, can you? They bump the age up to 21? Wow. That kid can almost vote, though. Your relationship can
you can't buy
next
tobacco
year.
At 18 anymore.
I don't
huh?
think so. I think they raised the age.
I always thought it was weird. Tobacco 18, alcohol 21.
You can go to the military though. Cigarettes? I don't think so.
Thank you for your service.
There you go. I found that interesting. Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. As always, our wonderful friends. They are on the scoreboard today with today's Daily Ticker. And in your hand with summertime refreshment, reach for your favorite Pelican Brew at a store near you. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Promises made, promises kept. That's coming up. We're back after this with a couple of baseball notes next on the Fam. We don't put our hands. All right, promises made, promises kept, coming up top of the hour. I also have a couple of NBA notes I want to get to, including does this list intrigue you at all? But a shorter segment here, and this is funny. We're just doing a stinking it up with my team, and they are terrible right now, so totally valid stinking it up today.
Well, we all know my team sucks, so it's kind of no point in saying we're stinking it up.
Yeah,
we
Yeah.
You stink.
It's also funny. I lash out when my teams are included, so I get it. I get the humor of the show. I'll be your monkey. I'll dance for you.
The Mariners lost at home to the Royals.
They did, but they've been playing really good ball the last couple of weeks. I'll give them credit. And Cal Raleigh's having
a great
run.
They won the opener.
They did. And Ohtani, by the way, had his 30th bomb before the All-Star break.
That
tied the Dodger record yesterday.
Clayton Kershaw, three strikeouts away from 3,000 career today getting the start.
This is a story that includes my team. It's not really based on my team, and I'm wondering, what does this mean? So two nights ago, the Giants were in Arizona. They were playing the Diamondbacks. They lost the game because they're losing a lot of games right now. During the game, there was a fan who reached over the fence and interfered with a ball in play.
Yes.
Now, he reached over the fence. It was a debatable, was it a home run? Was it
they
not?
They initially called him out. There was no, the fan did not interfere with the defender's ability to catch it. However, he caught the ball below the fence line, so they ruled it a ground rule double.
Yeah, so they challenged the play, you get a ground rule double. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the fan has done this evidently multiple times.
He's gone.
Multiple times.
Season ticket holder. See ya.
Yes. They have now banned him for the rest of the year. Okay. So this fan's been banned for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Now you might ask yourself, well, why wouldn't you just like ban him for the rest of the year? He can come back next year. The Arizona Diamondbacks are claiming that if this guy does enough to essentially redeem himself, that he can earn his ability to buy tickets back. And I'm wondering, what does that mean? Do you have to take like a fan etiquette course? Is there like a, just like you get enough
what
tickets, you got to go do like a driving course? I got to like, you know, pick up trash along the side of a highway to get out of this ticket.
Maybe he's
what should we
come
make the fan do
he's
to get his right to buy
he's
tickets
gotta
back?
He's got to come to Hops games and comport himself in an appropriate fan
at
manner.
At a lower level Diamondbacks
lower
game.
Lower level Diamondbacks minor league before he's allowed to go back.
I don't know what you do here.
It says the fan will have the opportunity to return to Chase Field in 2026 so long as he meets certain terms and abides by our fan code of conduct.
But what are the certain terms?
Diamondbacks didn't say anything. They're vague.
That's fascinating.
Evidently, this guy's like a premier season ticket holder, so I think they were like walking on ice. They didn't want to kick him out because he spends a lot of money.
Spend more money?
And he buys the tickets that are right over the home run fence. Well, and he's done this like 10 times.
I know.
Constantly reaching over the wall and stealing home runs.
He looks like he's in my area of age.
Yes.
And he brings a mitt to games.
Yes.
Oh, he's a merch hawk.
He's a ball hawk.
He's definitely a ball hawk.
He wants the ball hawk. He wants the autograph.
Wants to sign it.
Selling the merch.
Yeah, wants to sell it. Yeah.
So I saw this the other day and I chuckled of like, is there anything they make him do?
Okay, if the Blazers did this to you, you kept tripping opposing players.
Courtside.
You think they sit you down behind the scenes, pretend to be stern, but also like, hey, could you keep it up?
I guess it's a bad comp because if you sat that close, you have FU money and they want that money forever.
Right.
But what would you do if the Giants did this to you? You'd been caught reaching over the fence and they just openly say
fan etiquette class.
Yeah, you have to earn the right to come back. What would you respond with? What am I supposed to do? And then like what is their response?
Yeah. I think Swag's point on minor league baseball is pretty funny. Like you have to go to a lower level that you're not allowed in the big leagues anymore.
Exactly.
We're sending you as a fan down to high A or double A or whatever.
You have to comport yourself properly in the stands. Isn't it easier? Just you can't buy tickets in the first 10 rows.
Yeah, just you can only buy tickets in the nosebleeds, sit them up top of the stadium, then you can't rob any foul balls.
That's the easy solution.
Let me ask you this. So we talked earlier about the torture and how long until you spill the beans, which I think I would probably be first and I'd stand no chance.
Oh, did we put that poll question
up? The poll question is up. Okay. We'll take a look at the results in the final hour.
Yeah.
Do you trust yourself in a Major League Baseball game? Mm. Now, let's, you know, go along the lines of you're at a ball game. You're probably with some boys or you're having fun.
Yeah.
Maybe you're high as a kite. Maybe you've had a couple of cocktails. You're out at a ball. It's a day baseball game, right?
Okay.
I give you a glove. Do you trust your instincts in one of those moments?
You mean reaction time if a ball's coming out?
No, not a foul. No, but like
reaching over
in the field of play. You trust your ability to refrain from doing so.
What I'm doing
when a ball is coming your direction and you're watching it come, you would know to like back everybody up.
Well, I'm not controlling what other people are doing, but in my area, I have the glove exactly where it would need to be if the ball does clear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm not reaching any further than that.
Holding it right over the edge of the wall.
Kind of right up by my forehead.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't want to be involved in the controversy.
You don't want to be that guy?
No, because what if it costs your team? I don't want to be a Bartman.
You don't want to be Bartman.
You know, the other thing about this, too, nobody
or
wants
you could
to
be
hear.
Who was the little turd in New York back
Jeffrey
in the
90s? Mayer.
Jeffrey Mayer. You could be Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, that's right.
You could be Jeffrey Dahmer eating people and stealing home runs away from the Orioles.
I also am just not loyal enough to tell you that if I caught a home run ball from an opposing team, I ain't throwing that back.
Hell no.
I don't understand the thinking of it.
Absolutely.
Do you have the bait and switch ball? Ready to go?
No,
I'm just keeping it.
The chances of catching a home run,
you know what somebody needs to do?
So remote, you're keeping that ball.
Right now, there's really only one standalone investigative sports podcast. Pablo Torre needs to find out what the win rate is of the home team whose fan base throws an opposing home run ball back.
I think it's just more peer pressure. Like, if you were in the outfield at Wrigley.
I'm walking out of the stadium. You can do whatever you want to me. I'm keeping that ball.
Okay.
Do the fans really give you crap for it?
I think they would at Wrigley.
There's a few stadiums where they get on you pretty hard.
Well, I want to know if it's successful, if those teams are winning those games, then great. But if there's a win percentage that's less than 500 based on the times that happens, then we need to change the thinking here. The math ain't math.
The math ain't math, man. You should keep that souvenir because the odds tell you you're not going to catch another one the rest of your life, and you just threw it back onto the field of play.
Catching a foul or home run ball is very similar to me as a hole-in-one.
Like, just the rarity of it.
You got to be in the right place at the right. Now, if you're in an empty-ass stadium, you're
in
Oakland.
Ton of luck involved, yeah.
Okay, you ran and got it. Yeah. The one I got.
That's different. If it's hit to you, that's totally different.
And if you're going to a White Sox home game.
You have a chance.
You have a chance.
But a full-packed stadium.
And most of them are hit by a
crazy.
All right, what should the punishment be for this fan? 503-864-6326. What should we make him do to earn his right back into Chase Field in Diamondbacks games? If he meets certain terms and conditions, he can go back next year. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Statter story coming up at 8:15. Does this list do anything for you? That's at the bottom of the hour. But promises made, promises kept. That's where we start next on The Fan.